conquered the grave. Amen. Okay, I'm excited. I missed you guys last Sunday. I don't know where you were, but I didn't see any of you. I didn't see a single one of you, and I'm really getting worried. So I've been praying all week. So, yeah, God bless you guys. You really need to show up to more often. Next Sunday is the children's Christmas play and the candle lighting service. And that all takes place here at One Life at 6 p.m. Good morning, Ken. How's that coffee? Good. Oh, not strong enough. It's not rocket fuel. Well, why don't we stand together? Thank you, Lord. Just begin to open our hearts. Many of us already have, but just begin to allow the Lord to have residence and precedence and priority here in our hearts so that we can just see Him move this morning. Or for many of us, continue to move. Or for some of us, be made aware. But at any rate, Father, we just thank You. We say, worthy is the Lamb that was slain. Worthy is the Son of God who conquered the grave. Lord, we acknowledge You this morning. We bless Your mighty and holy name. And we desire You this morning. Holy Spirit, this is Your house. We ask You to dwell in it, meaning our hearts. As Your children, God, we ask You just to dwell and just to have Your way this morning. Thankful, God, for who You are in our lives. Thankful for every person that is here. And very excited and thankful for what You're doing and what You're going to do. Not just here in the service, but this day, Lord. Release Your glory here in Your house. Release Your glory here in Your children. Father, we desire You. If You desire Him this morning, let's just lift our hands. Let's just call out to Him. Let's just invite Him here. Let's just say, I am Yours, Lord, and You are mine. I am Yours and You are mine. Nothing else matters right now. It's just You and I, God. Together, Father, together, Lord, we are with You. Saying, show Yourself. Lord, we are Your people. We are holy because You are holy. We are righteous because of the blood of the Lamb. And Father, we lay our hearts before You this morning. I declare that not a single person will leave here unchanged this morning. I declare that this house is a house of God, and the enemy has no influence or no say. We cast you out in Jesus' name. We thank You, Lord, for Your presence here. We thank You for the house of God, and thank You, Lord, for Your love and for each other. Lord, have Your way this morning in our hearts, God, as we worship, Lord. Have Your way in our hearts. In Jesus' mighty name, we thank You. In Jesus' name, amen.
joy to the world, the Savior reigns. Let all their songs
the grave.
We're going to go ahead and release the children. They're going down and preparing for next week's Christmas program. Praise the Lord. So all the children who are involved in that, go ahead and Stephanie will meet you back there and take you down. Hello? Few. Maybe some are already down there. Yeah, go ahead and head down. It looks like some are already down there. So praise the Lord.
I don't usually pay a whole lot of attention to you, I'm sorry. But today, for some reason, I'm looking out and I'm seeing that there's not a whole lot of participation happening. And it doesn't make sense to me because hallelujah, holy, holy, God Almighty, He's the great I am. I've been sick all week. I am weak, weak, weak. I started out in that chair, but I cannot stay in the chair. I can't do it. God is too worthy. God is too mighty. God is too holy. He's too great. And I know that there are times when we're weary. But He is our strength. Those times, if you need to sit down, that's okay. It comes from our heart. It's an expression of our faith to bow low before Him and to lift Him high and to give all that we are in order to show Him. He showed us in the greatest way possible. Hallelujah. Holy, holy.
The great I God Almighty, the great I am, worthy, worthy, worthy. That is what we're singing, and that is what's in our heart. But what I'm seeing, what the Lord is showing me, is endless busyness. Endless. Close your eyes and go to your house. Go in your kitchen, your bedroom, your family room if you have it. Look at what's the priority. The grocery list, the canned goods, the packages that need to be mailed, the cards that need to be written, the parties that we need to attend. Busyness, busyness, busyness. And he is saying, I'm the great I am. I am the mighty King. And all your busyness, and all your business, do you kneel before me and honor me as King of Kings? There's such a great amount of love the Lord has for us. And I am as guilty as everyone, or at least I know I'm guilty. And the Lord is saying, this day, come to me and let me be the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and the Savior. And then everything else will come in balance. Everything else will fall into the right place before our Lord. So, Lord, I repent for the busyness, for the things that I've put before you, Lord, always thinking later, later, later. But I kneel before you as my King. And as my Lord, come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. Come and occupy all of me.
Alive throughout the ages.
never changes. Holy is the King of creation. Holy is the Lord of salvation. He is alive throughout the ages. He has proven.
surrender now. Let's just lift up our voices and our hands to the Lord. God, we surrender. What is your desire, God? What are your plans, Lord? We surrender to your plan of the Lord. Just wants to breathe revelation over our hearts. And for some of us, I feel like God wants to give direction to people this morning. And he just wants to give purpose and reason. And I just feel like as we just surrender our hearts to the Lord this morning, that God is just going to, he's just going to give pure direction, just clear direction to people this morning. Father, we just surrender and bow our hearts before you, Jesus. We humble ourselves before you. And God, we don't seek our own ways, but God, we seek your ways, Holy Spirit. God, we thank you, Jesus, that your word says, Father, that your thoughts are so much higher than our thoughts and your ways are higher than our ways, Jesus. And so this morning, God, we submit our will. God, we submit our ways to you, Jesus. And we pray, Holy Spirit, that you would give us direction, God, throughout, God, this service, God, throughout our lives, Holy Spirit. God, breathe your revelation, Father. God, breathe fresh revelation to our hearts and our spirits, Jesus. We receive it now, Father.
What Barb said really hit home with me. I don't know how many else of you in here feel that same way, where the busyness, you get so caught up in it, and we get so caught up in our own agendas that we forget about looking at what God wants to do with us. And we forget about the agendas of heaven that are already planned out. And he has our paths. He has them already drawn out for us. And all we need to do is look to him. And all we need to do is take our eyes off the stuff that's right in front of us. Take our eyes off the stuff that our thoughts are captivated by before they're captivated by him. And I know how guilty I am of looking at everything more than I look at him. And I just want to enter into a new place with the Lord. And I know that there are people in here with me. And we just want to enter into a new awareness of his presence. And God, we just declare that over this day, over this time together, that we would come in such a way that we would be even broken again by you, God. That we would gain awareness of your hand in our lives. That we would look to you, our provider, God. We want that to mean something to us. We don't just want to make these simple declarations, God. We want these to be facts about us. If we had a biography written about us, we want it to say the Lord is his provider. We want it to say he is the author of his faith because he looks exactly like Jesus. He is a representative of heaven. So God, we want these declarations that we make, we want them to sink in. And Lord, we know it's only by your Spirit in us that that's going to happen. But today, God, we just ask for a fresh outpouring. And we just pray that through all the busyness, God, that you would be our focus. Lord, we know that you have great things in our lives. And and that you have a purpose for all of them. But God, let you be our purpose. Let you be where our eyes are set on, and everything else will fall into place. In Jesus' name.
You are good. You are good. God, and sing with me. Our rain is our God, and all will see our rain, and how great is our God.
How many remember the main verse that I was telling you to memorize last week? 2 Corinthians 4:18. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but we look at the things which are not seen. Because the things which are seen are temporary. The things which are not seen are eternal. I want us to sing this song one more time. But before we do, I want to read something here. Remind us of something the Lord shared with us last week from His Word. Hebrews 12:22. No, you have come to Mount Zion. Folks, we have come there. We are there. We're there right now. I know it's so easy to get caught up looking around, looking at the building, looking at the screen, looking at everything, and lose the fact of where we truly are in Christ. to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to countless thousands of angels in a joyful gathering. While we've been worshiping this morning, I've had my eyes closed, and I've been just reminding myself of that fact that even though I'm worshiping here with you, at the same time, I'm around his throne, and I'm worshiping with those thousands and thousands and thousands of angels. Another place in Revelation says millions of angels. You've come to the assembly of the God's firstborn children, whose names are written in heaven. You have come to God himself, who is a judge over all things. You have come to the spirits of the righteous ones in heaven, who have now been made perfect. You have come to Jesus, the one who mediates the new covenant between God and people, and to the sprinkled blood, which speaks of forgiveness instead of crying out for vengeance like the blood of Abel. I'd like us to do that one more time, and if you would just indulge me for a moment as we do the song one more time with your eyes closed, not looking at the screen. If you don't know the words, then just listen to them ring in your heart, and just for a moment, use your imagination, your God-given imagination, and just picture yourself in that place of glory, because you're there whether you believe it or not. And let heaven's sounds, let the power and the glory of God that's there, that we're in right now, just let it just permeate every part of you. Thank you, Jesus.
How great is our God? See with me how great is our God. And all will see how great, how great is our God. How great is our God. Sing with me.
Oh, Holy, holy. for you are holy. For you are holy. For you are holy. Lord, oh my soul, I give you control.
Praise the Lord. How many, during that time, just closing your eyes, was experiencing something different than what was normally around you? A few of you. You don't have to wait to church, come to church to experience that. And if you didn't experience anything, just know that because you did not sense anything in your natural senses, doesn't change the fact that you're there. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, team. Awesome worship today. Yeah, let's thank your team. Praise the Lord. How many were here last week? How many were here last week in spirit? Probably some of you were here and didn't even realize it, because our hearts are connected. Well, last week, I jokingly said that for Jesse to entitle the sermon Fruitcake at Large. But I must have had like some gravitas when I said it, because that's what he made the sermon title, Fruitcake at Large. So if you want to share with the folks around the office, it might be enough for them to tune in and figure out what's going on, because that's not your normal sermon title. So with that said, I have today's title. And today's title is, I Am Out of My Mind. Oh boy. Some of you are going like, what is that? I've told a few people that that was the title of the sermon. They say, well, I can kind of get an idea where it's going, but I'm not sure yet. Let's pray together. Father, we just thank you, Lord, for a revelation in truth. Lord, we thank you, God, that you're not leaving us in the dark. You're not leaving us, God, in a place, in a way, Lord, where we don't know where to go or what to do. Lord, your word says, and you said this even to unbelieving people, that it's in you we live and move and have our being. So, Lord, more so, as believers, as people of faith, as ones who believe that you died for us, as ones who believe that you took our sins to the cross, as ones who believe that you have made us dead with you and now we have raised with you as you rose from the grave, Lord. Lord, as those who believe in that, Lord, we should all the more move and live and have our very being in you. So, Lord, we pray that revelation and truth, Holy Spirit, release truth here today. You are the Spirit of truth. The kind of truth that we would know if with experience and with reality, and that it would make us free. Father, I pray right now, God, that old mindsets, I pray that old ways of thinking, I pray right now that our old patterns and habits that do not align with your word, that those would be broken off today in Jesus' name, off my life and off those who hear this word. Lord, I declare that I will be out of my own mind, that I will not use my own thoughts, that I will not walk in my own ways, but Lord, that I will follow you and I will follow your thoughts, and your thoughts will guide me, your thoughts will lead me. Your ways, Lord, will be the ones that I trail after, Lord, that I follow, that I seek after, Lord, not my own. And we just thank you, Lord, that you're doing a work in our hearts. We thank you, Lord, that it goes beyond even what we can pray ourselves. It goes beyond what we can expect ourselves. It's a divine work of the Holy Spirit. On Pentecost, on that day when those faithful 120 were gathered in the upper room, they had no clue what was coming. They just knew that they were told to wait, and they had an expectancy in their heart that you were going to do something. But Lord, you blew them away, and I believe, God, that you're getting ready to blow us away as we're preparing our hearts, as we're waiting on you, as we're tarrying, Lord, as we're putting all of our eggs in your basket. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Okay, as I've been doing, I kind of want to, before I get to the message, which it really is the message, but it's like verses that I'm reminding you of each week. And again, I don't know how long I'll be reminding you. I know I'm saying them so that I remind myself. Isaiah 26, verse 3. Isaiah 26, verse 3. You will keep him, who's the you, capital U, that's God, that's Jehovah. You will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in you. You will keep him in perfect peace. Now, I want to just mention what this Hebrew expression is saying here. It says that you, God, are going to guard him, you're going to secure him, you're going to make sure that he is in, and the way that it was expressed in the Hebrew is shalom, shalom. Now, shalom in itself is a word that we probably have heard, you know, Jewish people saying to each other, then they use it like a greeting. But in the Hebrew, that word literally means completeness, wholeness, fullness, just everything good to you. So he's saying everything good to you, completeness in completeness, in wholeness. So God is going to keep someone, guard them, make sure that they're in this completeness, this wholeness, this perfect peace is the way it's expressed here, a complete peace, a peace that, you know, I don't believe any of us experience very much. Every now and then, maybe we gather our hearts together and God will just come in and just wreck our world and we just sense all of a sudden the world just fade away. But this is telling us in Isaiah 26:3 that he's going to keep us, guard us, make sure, garrison around us, make sure that we are kept in that perfect peace, that shalom, shalom, when our mind is stayed on him, or our mind is fixed, our mind is set, our mind is continually focused on him. That word mind, folks, is only translated mind there one time in the Bible. It's used 9 other times in the Bible. The other times, it's the word imagination. In Genesis 6, where it says that God was bringing judgment on the earth because of the evil imaginations of the people's heart. They could not think anything good. It was always evil imaginations. And most of the time, when this word is used, it's referred to as an evil connotation. The imaginations, the evil imaginations of your heart. But here we are being encouraged to use our imagination to focus on him. Now, most of you, when I say the word imagination, as myself, we think negative. Because I don't know, how many of you daydreamed in school? I did in such a way that I basically lost half my classes. Really, you can probably tell sometimes from my English, especially English, I seem to always daydream and go into another world. And as I got older, people kept, you can't daydream. You got to, hey, focus, stay focused. And so my ability, now I can lose, you know, attention and be focused on something else, but very rarely, as an adult, have I been caught up in daydreams. My imagination has been stifled. The world won. The world won. I was talking to someone the other day, and they were talking about how they use their imagination when they were a kid, and they still sometimes use it. I said, I want to encourage you to continue to use it, because it is a God-given gift, and the enemy has wanted to squelch it. Why? Well, number one, how many are experiencing shalom, shalom in their life all the time? That's because our imagination, which even though we don't call it our imagination, is being used by the enemy. Our imagination's being used for this, folks. Our imagination's being used to say, oh, I don't have enough money in the bank. Now, all of a sudden, our imagination takes place. Well, that means I'm not going to be able to buy enough Christmas presents. That means I'm not going to be accepted in my family because they're going to reject me. That means, and on and on and on. All of a sudden, your imagination is running wild. But it's not kept on him. It's in another place, isn't it? Your imagination is now being used by the tools of the enemy to take peace from you. Because what you've done is you've looked at life, you've looked at the circumstances, and now because of past experiences, because of what you heard has happened to somebody else, because of what you're likely to have happen, so you're automatically thinking that's going to happen. You're now, your imagination is running wild. And guess what? You're manufacturing something that may never happen. And guess what? It is affecting your outcome right now. Someone talks to you and they're going to think, what's going on with this person? They're going to think, did they lose a loved one or whatever? No, because what they're experiencing is your emotional connection to what you have manufactured in your life. Come on. Listen, I'm telling you right now, if we don't get this, if we don't learn to take our affections off of this earth, off of the cares of this world, off of the deceitfulness of riches, if we don't learn to take our eyes off of that, we're going to be sorry and sad people. Not shalom, shalom. Not full of peace. Not full of joy. Not full of completeness and wholeness. Folks, this is an Old Testament promise. He was saying this to people under the Old Covenant. Jesus had not come and had not fulfilled his place in glory yet. And yet he's telling his people at that time, if you would set your imaginations on me, I will keep you in a peace that is beyond this realm. If you would be out of your own mind. Come on. If you would not let your own mind be what leads you. Whose mind is stayed on you. Listen, this word mind, the root word, the very root word of this word, mind, and I told you it's imagination, means formed or framed or constructed. Get this. You could say this. This is gonna sound a little different, but I wanna slam home this point. The root word of this word mind is used in Genesis. And you recognize this scripture, I'm sure. And the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. Now let me use this other expression and way that this word could be said. And the Lord God imagined man of the dust of the ground. That's the same word. Formed. Imagined mind. God saw and God formed. God imagined, God formed. Guys, we have to get this. We have to understand that God has given us a divine gift, and that gift is our imagination. And our imagination can be used for vain things. What does it say? To bring all thoughts captive to the obedience of Christ, casting down what? Vain imaginations, imaginations that are not godly, imaginations that do not hold the things of Christ in, dumps them out. Isn't that amazing that word is the same word, or the root of that word is the same word that's used for formed. Other places, it's used as the description of the potter. The person who forms clay. So this is what that verse is saying, going back to
Isaiah 26:3, you will keep him in shalom, shalom, whose imagination, whose ability to form things is stayed on me. I was telling somebody today that scripture, 2 Corinthians 4:18. I said that's kind of what I've been kind of sharing on, is that we're to look at things that are not seen. Because the things that are seen are temporary. The things that are not seen are eternal. Now, they haven't been here the past couple of weeks. And they looked at me and said, how do you do that? How do you look at something that's not seen? It's a paradox, right? Is it oxymoron too? Does that apply? I mean, basically what we're saying is to take something that doesn't exist and totally set your focus on that. See that. Well, that's faith, folks. That's faith. Faith is believing in something what? Not seen. So, as I read in Hebrews 12, what did it say? We have come to what? Mount Zion. We have come to a heavenly Jerusalem, the city of God in heaven. We have come to an innumerable amount of angels festively gathering. We have come to God Himself. We've come. We are there. You all stare at me like, really, Pastor? Have you seen my life lately? It does not look like I'm there. That is you setting your eyes on things of this earth. Okay, Colossians. Three. Oh, help me, Lord. Colossians 3:1. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Again, shared this last week. I read it this morning and I had to go like, come on. I'm dealing with this just as much as you are. I may be a little bit ahead of you. That's it. And maybe some of you are even ahead of me in this. You say, Pastor, well, I don't have any problem. I pray and all of a sudden I'm in glory. Well, hallelujah. Most of us aren't. Most of us are still earthbound, focused on the problems of this earth. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above. Folks, what is above? What is above? Above is not of this earth. And it tells us where above is, where Christ is. Where is Christ? He's in heaven, seated at the right hand of God. Now, another place, Ephesians 2, says that right now you and I are seated in heavenly places. Right there with him right now. Huh? No, Pastor Mike, I'm sitting here on the front row. So Ezekiel said, I'm sitting here on the front row, got my arm around my wife, and I know where I'm at. But in Christ, we're seated in heavenly places. Which is more real? According to the Bible. Us seated there in heavenly places or us seated here right now? What's more real? That is more real. As it says, that is eternal. That is everlasting. Verse 2, set your mind, your thoughts, I would add your imagination, set your forming ability to form pictures in your heart, pictures on the screen of your life. Set them on above, not of things of this earth. For you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. We need revelation about that. Why? That is a key. For you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears or manifests or reveals himself, then you will also manifest or reveal yourself with him in glory.
going to go back to one of my favorite verses. For years, it's been one of my favorite verses. Hello! That's not mine, is it? Oops. Someone else has that oops look on their face. I always look around and pretend, who is that? Just kidding, I don't do that. You guys are like looking like maybe that's the way you were during worship. And I don't know if it's just because that this is foreign to us, or maybe you've got it now and you're just saying, Pastor, get on to something else because this is just old hat now. Not. Romans 12:2. And do not be conformed to this world. What does that word conformed mean? It means literally molded. In other words, don't let the world mold you. Sound familiar? How about this? Let's put it this way. Don't let the world's view of you set an imagination that you are molded by it. You are conformed to it. Don't let the world be your potter. And it tells us immediately after that how that happens. It says, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So this tells me right here, the way that I'm conformed to the world is letting my mind stay just as it is. Let me say that again. The way that I conform to this world or molded, or the world becomes my potter, becomes the one that crafts me, the one that makes me, the one that makes it so that I'm on display for it. And who's the God of this world, folks? Come on. On display for who? Is by not renewing my mind. Is by letting my mind stay the same. Now I have to, and some of you are going to maybe take issue with this, but I want to truly have transformation. I want to truly be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who is my example, who is my forerunner, who has made a way for me to follow. And I have said this before in the past, that the only really way we renew our minds is reading the Word of God. But that's not true. Because you guys can read the Word of God, and you can just underline it, you can highlight it, you can know it, for crying out loud. You can come to the place where you have knowledge, you can debate over it, you can let other people know where they're wrong, and still not let it renew your mind. Still not let it renew your mind. That word renew, there is anakanos. And it means total renovation. It means, that the word kainos means something that was there before is not there anymore. It says that we are new creations in Christ. We are kainos creations in Christ. And that word ana just adds to the intensity of that word kainos. So the renewing is a renewing where we don't think the same. We're out of our minds. I want you guys to go to work tomorrow and tell your boss, I'm out of my mind. And then you can call and say, do you do any good jobs, Pastor Mike? I text Jesse the title for this sermon, I Am Out of My Mind, and he texts me back, what is the address to Medical Lake? Do not be molded. Do not let this world be your potter, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then what does that mean then? Then let God be your potter. But folks, for
us to let God be the one who manufactures or controls or molds us, we have to mold what we focus on. There's a choice there. See, we can know the truth knowledge-wise, but until we make that truth a reality to us, we remain the same. Can't tell you how many times we have different people go to different events we've had here. We've had encounters, we've had transformed, and we've had people who at the moment, wow, this is broken off of my life, and they know it beyond a shadow of a doubt. And they sense it, and it's a done deal, and we agree with them. We go, and we pray, and we know that it's done, and then we go down the road some, and it's back. Why is it back? Because the mind was not renewed. That conformity to the world for a moment was broken, but the mind was not renewed. It was not renovated. And most likely, what was happening is that the thoughts of that individual, and I've had similar things happen, my thoughts went to a place where I was imagining things about this world once again, and not the things of heaven. Says here that when you do this, you're going to be able to prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Okay, let's finish this. Head back to Hebrews. We're going to finish chapter 12 today. Verse 25. See that you do not refuse him who speaks. For if they did not escape who refused him who spoke on the earth, much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him who speaks from heaven. Whose voice then shook the earth, but now has promised, saying, yet once more I shake not only the earth, but also heaven. Now this, yet once more, indicates the removal of those things that are being shaken, as of the things that are made, that the things which cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire. Previously, where we read about the mountain that we haven't come to, the mountain that was shaken, the mountain where there was thunder, where there was lightning, that if a beast touched the mountain, they were ordered to be killed or an arrow shot through them, that Moses saw that sight. He was so terrified. We haven't come to that mountain. We've come to Mount Zion. I described it earlier, the mountain of the Lord. We've come to the city of the heavenly Jerusalem. We've come to the city of God. We've come to God himself. We've come to Jesus. And then it tells us here, after that, in verse 25, see that you do not refuse him who speaks. For if they did not escape who refused him who spoke on the earth, much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him who speaks from heaven. Listen, God is speaking. God is speaking to your heart during the week. He's speaking to your heart today. There were prophetic words of encouragement. There were prophetic words of challenge. He is speaking. And do we think any less of ourselves if we refuse to listen to that voice speaking? God's telling you right now, listen, don't continue to let the world be your potter. Don't continue to let the world molds you and make you into something that I did not create you to be. Don't let it happen. Keep your eyes, your focus, your heart, your imagination, your mind, your thoughts on me. Because if they did not escape who refused him who spoke on the earth, much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him who speaks from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth. Now he is promising, yet once more I will shake not only the earth, but also heaven. That's a crazy statement that he's not only going to shake the earth, but shake heaven itself. And I believe that that is describing his people. I mean, I don't see any reason for God to have to shake his perfect ordered heaven. Do you? Except for those who maybe are seated there, but still remain earthbound. Shake us where we're at. Shake us in our belief system. Shake us in our structure. Shake us in our mode of operandi. Our priorities. Because we have such a great salvation. We should not take it for granted. We should not just say, oh, everything's just going to work out okay. And have a diligence and put application to our walk of faith. Now this yet once more indicates the removal of those things that are being shaken as the things that are made, that the things which cannot be shaken may remain. What is the thing that cannot be shaken? Verse 28. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken. Some translation says, since we have received a kingdom that cannot be shaken. See, we're receiving it, but in Christ we've already received it. See, again, if you're looking in the mirror and you're seeing your mere reflection in who you've been from the date of your birth till right now, and that's all you see, your eyes are set on things of the temporary. I'm telling you right now, if you can't look in the mirror without going, oh, I can't believe that. You know, whether it's your physical looks or whether it's what you've done. Now, maybe the mirror is in your heart and it's your past and it keeps coming up before you. If that's what your identity is, if that's what you relate to, if that's what you can see only when you look at yourself, you're set on temporal things. Because as I said a couple weeks ago, in Christ, we're all complete. In Christ, we're all the finished work. I don't care what you look like right now. In Jesus Christ, you are complete. And the fact that you're not standing and cheering on your seats tells me that you're not believing me. Because if we truly knew that we were complete, we were a finished work, that no matter what it looked like right now, I am not this way. Even though it appears this way, we would cheer, we would jump, we would shout. But we are bound by the image of who we are in the natural. And I'm one of them. And we won't change until we see ourselves through his eyes and see each other through his eyes. So since we're receiving a kingdom or have received a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace or receive the grace of God by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. Godly fear is a key to fulfilling our destiny. Godly fear is a key to becoming who God wants us to be. Realizing that he is God and he has created me. He's made me a son, a child of his, and he is worthy of all my focus and attention. He's worthy of me taking the time to set my affections, my mind, my heart, my imagination on things above. For our God is a consuming fire. Wow. Folks, our God is a consuming fire. You know, this is Christmas time. It's when we celebrate the babe born in a manger, God with us, Emmanuel, left his place of glory among the angels, among the Father, and stepped out of that divine realm and shrouded himself in human skin. Wrapped in skin. And because of that, we are now made children of God. We are now made the people of God. We are now made the ones who God sets his affections on, his attention on. See, Jesus came to die. Jesus came to give his life. Jesus came to become the ultimate sacrifice. Not just so our sins could be forgiven. That is a key, and that is the doorway to who we become. But it's so that we can be like him. So that we are not molded by this world. So we don't have to let the world be our potter. So that we have this gift of being able to set our mind on things above. Folks, the world does not have that gift. Those who do not know Christ don't have that gift of being able to picture themselves with Jesus, to be able to picture themselves with the myriad of angels, to be able to picture themselves walking on the Sea of Galilee with Christ. They don't have that gift. You know what they have? They have the gift of going, oh man, my bills aren't going to get paid this month. What am I going to do? They have the gift of that imagination that runs wild most of the time, creating conflict and stress in their life. And yet we do the same thing. What does it say? Let's not ignore him who's speaking. Let's not ignore such a great salvation. And all I'm encouraging you to do is just be who you are. You're saying, well, that's what you're saying, Pastor Mike, is that there's a problem with who I am. No, I'm saying be who you truly are. If we were who we truly were or are, if we would be out of our own minds, as the Bible says, we have the mind of Christ. We have the mind of the Anointed One. If we would be out of our own minds, if we'd be out of our own thoughts, if we would be out of our own ways, we would see such a difference in our lives. And that's what God's drawing us to. That's what God wants. The days of just managing our Christian walk are over, folks. They are so over. Just knowing, okay, I'm going to stay good today. I'm going to do this, do that. I mean, shared about it many times. But those days are gone. It is a day of us becoming the sons, daughters, the children of God, with God's DNA being fully manifested in us, and the DNA of the world being squelched out, squashed out, and us becoming trees planted by the Lord. A city set on a hill. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Well, Father, we just thank you for your word. And Lord, I thank you, God, that you, Holy Spirit, are the one that makes the word alive in us. Quicken this word today. Quicken this word in me, in my heart, Lord. Make it alive in me. Help me to live it out. Help me to not let the world be my potter. Help me to not let this life, God, be what drives me, Lord, but your spirit, your truth, the reality of who you are. Lord, help me to be out of my own mind and into yours. Help me receive, Lord, this full mind of Christ. Help me receive, Lord, the truth that will 100% make me free. Lord, I declare that the bondages of the enemy will be broken off your people here today. That the lies of the enemy will be broken off your people here today in Jesus' name. Lord, that this week, Lord, they will have a greater revelation, a greater understanding, a greater reality, Lord, of who they are and where they are and who you are making them to be. Who they are as a finished work, Lord. Not their present condition, God, but the finished work that you've created them to be. I bless them now in Jesus' name. Bless them, God, with your heavenly grace, spiritual blessings, God, in all the high places of heaven that you have for them, God. Let it rest on your people. God, let them have favor in their jobs, favor with their family. Lord, let them grow in favor with you and with men. Lord, let the eyes of their understanding be so enlightened and illuminated, God, that they know the hope of the calling that's in you, Lord. That they know the riches of a glorious inheritance that they are in now, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. God bless you. Oh, Josh has something.
So just one more reminder, we are coming up on the deadline for the socks for Feed the Need, which is a very, very low income and homeless people. And that is this Wednesday or next? This Wednesday. So if anybody has any socks they want to give, you can get them to Tanya by this Wednesday. With that, God bless you. Stay out of your mind.